The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open the word of truth this evening to Revelation chapter 2. We continue our study in verse 23. Revelation chapter 2, verse 23. It is our privilege to fellowship in the word, to be sustained by logistical grace, and to follow certain procedures as we do so. Our perception of doctrine is meaningless apart from the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it is of absolute necessity that we approach the Word of God under the ministry, the filling of the Holy Spirit. In order to ensure this, we have a few moments of silent prayer, the privacy of your priesthood, the option of rebound if necessary. Furthermore, silent prayer gives you the opportunity to make the transition into strict academic discipline, which is so necessary for concentration on the Word. No talking, no unnecessary movement, nothing that would be disturbing to those who are serious students of the Word of God. If you cannot comply with these things, of course, silent prayer gives you the opportunity to slip out in order to avoid embarrassment for yourself and others. In preparation, therefore, let us pray. It is our privilege, Heavenly Father, to fellowship in the Word, to have the opportunity of growing in grace. We pray now that God, the Holy Spirit, will take the portion we study and make it a source of blessing and challenge. For we ask it in Christ's name, amen. The three characteristics, three categories of historical disaster include economic depression, social degeneration, and military defeat. Category 1, truth, deals with the laws of divine establishment. And under the laws of divine establishment, there are three things that are absolutely sacred. Freedom, the use of self-determination, property, and human life. And they are, of course, the three things that are related to disaster. We studied in the first chapter of Revelation how our Lord Jesus Christ controls history through the function and administration of his integrity and judgment. Freedom is one of the most important functions in life, and it's going to become a major issue in the rest of this chapter. So let's notice a couple of things about freedom before we begin. Freedom is the basis for the function of the other two sacred objects in life, human life and property. Freedom is the status of human volition as the uncaused cause of human function and the principle of live and let live. Therefore, freedom is legitimate self-determination, exemption from necessity. Freedom is self-fulfillment and the privilege and the franchise of the human race. Freedom cannot exist without privacy. The other two sacred factors include property, that which is legitimately acquired or possessed by the individual. The sacredness of property is the right to use, to enjoy, or benefit from, or dispose of anything that can be subject to ownership by the individual. It is the ownership of tangible things. Human life is also sacred, and all the laws of divine establishment, including the Ten Commandments, are built around this particular concept. Human life, there are two exceptions, of course, are capital punishment of criminals and the killing of the enemy in the war, the defense of one's country. We've also noted that liberty, equality, and fraternity are contradictory terms that destroy freedom. This, of course, was the epigram that came out of the French Revolution. But in addition to the sacredness of freedom, property, and human life, there is one thing that makes it possible for all of us to function under self-determination, to live, and to accumulate property, and that is the umbrella of authority. Therefore, of course, the laws of divine establishment, or Category 1 truth, defines legitimate authority, which is necessary for the principle of live and let live. And, of course, the umbrella of authority is the power delegated by God to command, to train, to prepare for life, to employ, to teach, to act as an agent for a principle, whether it's a nation, a state, a county, a city, or an individual. Now, the principle that we need to recognize, because it is the major thrust in the last half of this chapter, is the fact that freedom and equality cannot coexist. God invented freedom. Satan has attempted to invent equality. Equality is a satanic delusion. Freedom can neither guarantee or manufacture equality in the human race. Equality is not necessary for happiness. Freedom is. Equality is not necessary for blessing. Freedom is. Equality is not necessary for prosperity. Freedom is. Some people use freedom to advance under the principle of self-determination, and some use freedom to regress under that same principle of self-determination. Freedom is the reality of life and history. Equality is the myth of history. Freedom does not guarantee equality. In fact, the function of freedom guarantees inequality. Equality, then, is the device of the arrogant, the disorientation of the sociopath, while freedom is the motivation for grace-oriented people, believers, under the principle of live and let live. Forced equality is not only the policy of tyrants, but it is the basis for Satan's rulership of the world and the reason for the delineation of historical trends which we have been studying. Freedom is the policy of God, since God invented freedom in the creation of the human race to resolve the older angelic conflict. Freedom is dogmatic and inflexible regarding the essentials of life and reality, while being flexible and pliable regarding the non-essentials, and therefore freedom is the basis for common sense, for the function of liberty, for orientation to reality, which includes respect for the privacy, the property, and the life of other people. It also includes respect for authority. Freedom, therefore, must have a content of thought. And the content of thought for freedom is found in the laws of divine establishment. Category 1, truth. Under the laws of divine establishment, freedom and authority are mated. You cannot have freedom without authority, nor authority without freedom. Freedom without authority is anarchy. Authority without freedom is tyranny. Freedom without authority of doctrine is antinomianism, while authority without freedom is legalism. Now, all of this is a stream that contributes to the function of the laws of divine establishment. But far more important than that are several facts that we must face in application of the doctrines we're about to study. Fact number one, we the people of the United States are a client nation to God. We are a client nation. In exactly the same way that SPQR, the Roman Empire, was a client nation at the time of the writing of Revelation chapters 2 and 3. What applies to them applies to us. Fact number two, we are a declining client nation. which is exactly what the Roman Empire was when John began his ministry in Ephesus. We are a declining client nation, as illustrated by the three categories of historical disaster. Category number one is economic depression. And by the way, economic depression is a worldwide condition, not a national condition. In the most recent Texas Tribune, Paul Harvey has a column called Recession Worldwide, Least Here. He says, no place in the world would you be better off. Americans cannot blame Reaganomics. Recession is everywhere, and most elsewhere worse than here. More layoffs, more bankruptcies. Let's not overlook the bluebird in the backyard. U.S. News recently audited the big six Western nations. My advice, stay where you are. Every industrialized country is in economic trouble, and it is spilling over on the oil-rich countries of the third world. In Belgium, steel plants shut down, steel workers riot. In Denmark, 15,000 farmers who cannot pay steep interest rates face foreclosure. So little construction in West Germany that 1,500 construction firms failed last year, and 250,000 construction workers are out of work. Even in Japan, economic decline reduced exports. New housing is down 10% from a year ago. The Paris-based Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development predicts for its 24 member nations unemployment totaling 28.5 million by this summer, the most since the Great Depression of the 30s. In Britain, 12.5% unemployment, far more than ours. Industrial output is the least in 14 years. Socialism is not the answer. French money is worth less compared to ours than at any time ever. The socialist government is losing parliament and will soon lose the presidency. In Italy, unemployment is more than 9%, inflation more than 16%. So condemnation of Reaganomics reflects mostly election year rhetoric and does not acknowledge that our nation's economy, compared with other nations, is downright vigorous. The whole world is suffering the same hangover from years of overindulgence. But historically, capitalism recovers its own fumbles and then helps others. Already the United States is in the lead in shrinking the annual inflation rate, currently 3%. That's half the annual rate in Britain, France, and Canada. Our nation's industrial production improved 1.6% last month. Our shipments of durables jumped 1.9%. Housing starts gained 6.5%. Personal income increased 0.5%. And recovery prospects improve as inflation declines. Hans Most of the Swiss Credit Bank in Zurich has charted 7 recessions since World War II. He expects a business upturn in America the second half of this year, and that it will spread throughout the rest of the world. Nevertheless, the very fact that Category 1 economic depression exists in any possibility at all is a sign of the possibility of loss of client nation status. Social degeneration, of course, is an interrelated factor, and eventually military disaster, worldwide depressions inevitably lead to world wars. Almost every world war has been preceded by an economic depression. So the order of battle is economic depression, social degeneration, and military defeat. And they all link up, as we have seen. But our objective is to see these things in the light of our personal responsibility. Why are you here? Why am I here? Why are as believers, why do we still live on planet Earth? The answer is very simple. The simplest answer being to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to fulfill the plan of God. But the answer is a little more complex than that in the light of what we're about to study. For we have already seen the white pebble, the judgment seat of Christ, when we will stand there in a resurrection body, the white pebble. We have already seen that some who fulfill the plan of God of residence and function in the divine dynasphere are going to be knighted with a new name on that white pebble. And for all eternity, some will have simply a resurrection body, but some are going to have knighthood. And that knighthood is a special knighthood for rulership in the millennium. The millennium, which is going to be a time of perfect environment on the earth, will also be a time of nationalism. Jesus Christ will rule the world, but he will administer the rulership of the world through nations. And nationalism, not internationalism, will be the order of the day. For the old sin nature still exists in the human population, and there will be nationalism. Now, those who are knighted are not known to history at the present time, and they aren't making the history books, but they are believers who concentrate on doctrine and advance to maturity. And they will be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ, first to the church, and then at the second advent to the world. And then, believers who are perhaps unknown even in Christian circles are going to rule the world with Jesus Christ. They will have resurrection bodies that are different from other resurrection bodies. The new name on the white stone. Now, everyone has the white stone. But coming up is the decoration that goes with this knighthood. The order of the morning star. The highest decoration that heaven can give a human being. A decoration that relates to historical impact from advance to maturity, for consistency in living in the pivot as well as in the divine dynasphere. And with the order of the morning star, which we will study at the end of this chapter, there comes a special uniform, the uniform of glory, a transparent uniform of light, only worn by our Lord Jesus Christ and those who hold the order of the morning star. The uniform of glory. There you have three things. Knighthood, which we've already studied. The new name on the white pebble. Secondly, the order of the morning star, the actual decoration. And thirdly, the uniform of glory. Now here's a shocking thing. Every born-again believer in this congregation tonight is eligible for these three things. But they depend upon making daily good decisions. They depend upon putting doctrine first in your life and making doctrine more important than people, situations, and opportunities. Nothing is more important than the Word of God, which is the mind of Christ. And the tragedy, the potential tragedy, is that you, as a congregation, are about to be exposed to information that other people do not have. But without it, they will still gain the morning star. And with this information, you will continue to make bad decisions with regard to doctrine. You will continue to have an erroneous scale of values. And you will wind up at the judgment seat of Christ a loser when you should have been a winner. Some of you are going to be losers. Some of you don't have what it takes to stick to anything, and especially to stick to doctrine, because it requires passing the 8 momentum tests. It requires the right priorities. It requires a good scale of values. And it requires a working volition that is totally consistent. Rebound when necessary, recovering instantly, residence in the divine dynasphere. And consistent decisions regardless of sacrifice to take in Bible doctrine. And some of you just simply don't have it. But you have the same free will. You have the same opportunity. You have the same volition as the person sitting next to you and the person sitting in back, the person sitting in front, everyone who is here tonight. Now, I predict some of you are going to make it, and I predict a lot of you are not. You just simply are not consistent enough. You don't have the stability. You can make a decision under emotion, and you're gung-ho for a while. You run out of emotion, you get bored, and you lose out. You flunk the momentum tests. You get your eyes on people, and you're all through. You get your eyes on things, and you're through. You become a whining, wimpy person. You can't take disaster, and you can't take prosperity. When you get some prosperity, we'll see you when disaster hits. And yet, there is available to us something higher than the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of glory. These are high decorations, but the highest is on the agenda for this week. The Order of the Morning Star, the decoration that carries every privilege for all eternity. Did you ever want to run anything? Did you ever want to straighten out anything? Did you ever want to get anyone told off and squared away? Well, just think. Those who hold the morning star are going to do it for 1,000 years. Should have your fill of it, but that isn't all. The order of the morning star carries authority forever and ever and ever in heaven. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you will ever have any decorations. Heaven, the perfect place, is a place of inequality. Inequality is always based on freedom. Inequality is always based on self-determination. And self-determination is the name of the plan. We have studied this morning the first half of verse 23. Furthermore, I will execute her followers. Her followers are the followers of Jezebel, a born-again believer who started a failing cult. Her followers were born-again believers. Furthermore, I will execute her followers by means of death. So we stop briefly to note the sin unto death, which doesn't mean loss of salvation, but it definitely means loss of reward. Loss of decoration. Loss of opportunity to re-enter history at the second advent and rule. There's a special cotton field in heaven for those of you who are losers. And during 1,000 years, you can pick cotton in heaven in your resurrection body. While those who win the order of the morning star are going to rule the world under the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have all the scriptural documentation. I've been working for days putting this package together. No commentary has ever even come close to giving the correct information. And no pastor that I have ever known in history has ever properly analyzed this passage. And you ought to make it a point to come until we get through chapter 3, verse 6. So at least you'll know what your options are. And if you want to turn it down, at least have some idea of what you're turning down. The order of the morning star, the uniform of glory, the knighthood. With your free will, you can occupy the highest position a human being will ever occupy in history, in the millennium. And you can have authority in heaven forever. Or you can be a loser. You can be a wimp. You can be kept around by God just to act as a test, a momentum test for your friends. And when you run out of friends, and God will take you out, as we saw this morning, under the sin unto death. Furthermore, I will execute her followers by means of death. Now we continue tonight with the connective use of the conjunction chi, K-A-I, which we notice has at least eight different meanings. Translated here, and so, it introduces a result from what precedes. With this, we have the nominative plural subject composed of three Greek words. First, we have the nominative plural from the adjective pas. That's P-A-S. And then we have a definite article, which is pronounced hai. It's almost like a Japanese word, hai. Only you have to have a sword in your hand. You have to jump and say, hai, hai. That's the word. It's the generic use of the definite article, H-A-I. And then with it, the nominative plural from the noun, ekklesia. That would be E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. That's the subject. All the churches. And so, all the churches. A church is just another way of describing a believer. Just like battalions, another way of describing a soldier. In a regiment, we used to have four battalions, and then they went to the combat team, three battalions. Now, instead of regiment, we have a brigade, as many as six battalions. And sometimes you were dealing with an individual, and sometimes you're dealing with all of the troops. And here we're dealing with all the troops. And so all the churches, all the believers, all the battalions. This emphasizes the fact that the local church is the classroom for the perception of Bible doctrine. And that perception of doctrine is the basis for blessing in the client nation, as well as future reward and decoration for glorifying the Lord. The future tense is a predictive future. It anticipates the results of cosmic believers dying the sin unto death. Cognizance and the inculcation of the power and integrity of God. In other words, it looks like this. When a battalion failed in the Roman army at the time of writing, all they did was they numbered off. Number off by two. Hunt, two, hunt, two, hunt, two. All twos, one pace forward. Hunt. And so they moved one pace forward, and then they executed them. But they executed in front of the rest. That's what the Lord says to you and me. Every now and then he picks up someone in the congregation and executes them. Remember we studied the sin unto death this morning? The sin unto death is Christian capital punishment. And some people get the message that way. Every now and then, the Lord just picks up and executes some. And that's what he's about to do with this cult in Thyatira. Now, wouldn't that be an awful way to go? Most people, they have any sense, want to die gloriously. Who wants to die as an example to restrain others or get them to thinking properly. And yet that's exactly what the Roman army did, and it always improved their discipline. We used to shoot deserters of the United States Army. Now, of course, they have civil rights or something, and you can't do anything to anyone. The death of others is the last form of reality with regard to what is important. And when believers die horribly under the sin unto death, it is the last call of reality for you to wake up and realize that you still have free will to execute the plan of God, and that your failure to do so means disgrace by the means in which you die, and a second disgrace at the judgment seat of Christ. Those who are born again can hurt twice. That's the principle. Those who are born again can hurt twice. First, you hurt in the sin unto death. The sin unto death is God's specially designed way of dying that makes you hurt the most. It's a nightmare. Then at the judgment seat of Christ, there's the interlude of happiness and the interim body. But at the judgment seat of Christ, there you are in your resurrection body after the big genuflex. And there you have no decorations, no awards, and that is disgrace. Not grace, disgrace. So you die as an example to others and discipline, punishment to yourself. The person who is born twice and neglects doctrine hurts twice. And you hurt again one more time at the judgment seat of Christ. You'll have a resurrection body. You'll be in a state of blessing in all eternity, but that's all you'll have is a resurrection body. And there are degrees of happiness in heaven. Just as there are degrees of happiness in the divine dynasphere. We saw that when we studied the gazebo in the garden. There is a special happiness for those who achieve the crown of life. The crown of life is for cracking the maturity barrier and holding and advancing. And the order of the morning star, the gazebo in the garden, the crown of life, the white pebble with a new name, knighthood, new knighthood. A knighthood that comes back into history. We're royal family right now. We'll die royal family. We'll be in eternity as royal family, in distinction from the Old Testament saints, the tribulational saints, and the millennial saints. But the knighthood, the new name on the white pebble, is the authority to rule under Jesus Christ in the millennium. You say, I'll probably get some back country. No. Remember the millennium. The desert will blossom like a crocus. The lion and the lamb will lie down side by side. The country of the entire world will be beautiful in that day. Perfect environment is the characteristic of the millennium. So you won't even get a third world outhouse. If you achieve the order of the morning star, you will have reached the highest point that any believer can reach, and it has time and eternity significance. In time, right now, it means blessing by association, both for the client nation and the individuals in your periphery. But in the future, it has magnificent repercussions. And to wear a transparent light, that is a light transparency uniform, the uniform of glory, and to have the new knighthood, and to have this authority, absolutely fantastic. Of course, we'll study in detail, point by point, all of these things and how they relate and where the scriptures are located that deal with it. Right now, we anticipate it by looking at the losers. We'll be studying the winners very shortly. And one way some people are motivated to become winners is to see someone die the sin unto death. To see someone punished severely. And that motivates them back to reality, back to the fact that we're here to fulfill the plan of God, not our own, and that the only happiness and blessing and prosperity and success to us in this life is fulfilling God's plan and not making those erroneous decisions to go off on our own. And so all the churches. Now, here is the difficult way to learn. To learn by seeing someone else destroyed. The future middle indicative of the verb genosko, meaning to know. G-I-N-O-S-K-O. Never let your ambition, never let your goals, never let your lifetime desires separate you from the plan of God. Because if you do, you will not only have self-induced misery, punishment brought on by your own rotten decisions, but in addition to that, punishment from God. And a punishment of others will come first as a warning. All the churches will know. The predictive future anticipates the results of cosmic believers being executed under the principle of capital punishment. Executed by God, dying horribly and miserably. Cognizance and inculcation of the power and the integrity of God results. The middle voice is the indirect middle. It emphasizes the agent. Believers gathered up into their battalions, local churches, as producing the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative for the reality of inculcation from the administration of the sin unto death to cosmic believers, to losers. And with this, we have in a conjunction hoti, used after verbs of cognizance, to give us the content. That's H-O-T-I, hoti, and translated here, that. And all the churches will know that. Now, what will they know? Well, first of all, we have the content, the nominative subject from the personal pronoun ego. That's E-G-O. It refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as eternal God, the evaluator of every believer in the royal family in this dispensation. And it is correctly translated I. And so, all the churches will know that I, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, who commands all the churches, who commands all the battalions, who is the prince ruler of the church, and in charge of both blessing and punishment. And your decisions will determine whether to you our Lord administers blessing or whether he administers punishment. And we have the present active indicative of I-me. That's E-I-M-I. The verb to be, correctly translated, and so all the churches will know that I am static present tense for the fact that the deity and essence of our Lord Jesus Christ is infinite and eternal, and that as the God-man and having the third royal patent plus his deity, he is in charge. Next, we have the active voice. Jesus Christ produces the action. The indicative mood is declarative for the reality of the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the reality of his hypostatic union, the reality of two sources of authority from one person, authority from the fact that he is eternal God, the creator and the sustainer of the universe, authority from the fact that in his humanity he achieved the highest thing any member of the human race can do as the morning star. We will see passages where our Lord is called the morning star. He achieved that third royal patent, the strategic victory of the angelic conflict. All of this presupposes that you remember the doctrine of the divine essence, the doctrine of divine decrees. Then what follows is quoted. For he says in verse 23, furthermore, I will execute her followers by means of death, and so all the churches will know that I, Jesus Christ, am he who does something. Now the next phrase is quoted from four passages in the Old Testament. Our Lord actually quoted the Old Testament in describing what comes. He quoted from Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 20. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. Psalm 7, 9. And Psalm 62, verse 12. I want you to hear the corrected translation. I've translated all four verses from the Hebrew. Now this is the way they sound. Jeremiah 11, 20. But, O Lord of the armies, Jesus Christ has as one of his titles, as the God of Israel, Lord of the armies. It was Jesus Christ who put a wall of fire around Israel as the Lord of the armies. But, O Lord of the armies, who judges righteously, divine integrity, who tests the kidneys. Please notice, I'm giving you the corrected translation. It says here, our Lord is testing the kidneys. The kidneys are the emotions. And the heart, the right lobe. So Judges 11:20 describes our Lord as testing the kidneys and the heart, or the emotions and the right lobe. Jeremiah 17:11, I, the Lord, search the heart, the right lobe. I test the kidneys, the emotions, even to give every man according to his modus operandi. You see, the Lord judges from the facts. The facts are what you think and how you emote in your soul. So our Lord never makes a mistake in executing any Christian under the sin unto death. He doesn't make any mistakes in administering punishment of any kind. Our Lord cannot make a mistake. And he, as the judge, has all of the facts related to, not the reins, that's an old English word for kidneys, but the Hebrew word says kidneys. The kidneys and the heart. And this isn't physiological, it is part of the soul. Psalm 7:9. Oh, let the evil of the reversionist, the cosmic believer, come to an end, but establish the righteous, the mature believer. For the righteous God tests the heart, the right lobe, and the kidneys, the emotions. The Lord tests the right lobes and the emotions. Psalm 26:2. Examine me, O Lord, and test me. Test my kidneys, my emotions. Test my heart, my right lobe. Now we have four verses on which this phrase comes. Now for the quotation in the Greek. It starts out with an articular present active participle from the verb eranao. This looks like this in the Greek. That's E-R-A-U-N-A-O. Eranao. And it means to investigate. I am he who investigates. The definite article is used as a personal pronoun, referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. The retroactive progressive present tense denotes what has begun in the past and continues into the present time. Our Lord is constantly evaluating every living believer on the face of the earth. He tests the right lobe where we think. He tests the kidneys where are the emotions, which either respond or control the soul. If they control, it's a sign of being a cosmic believer. If you have kidney trouble, it's because you're in the cosmic system. The active voice, Jesus Christ is eternal God. He produces the action of the verb. The participle is circumstantial. This present tense can also be a customary present tense to denote what habitually occurs, the evaluation of the believer by our Lord Jesus Christ. In this usage, the temporal element, of course, is remote, since the act or state is assumed to be true in the past, the future, or the present. This is what the customary present means. It means that it does not deal strictly with the present tense, but with the future and the past. Furthermore, the action of the present participle is coterminous with the action of the main verb, which is, I will give. Let's see what we have now by way of translation. Furthermore, I will execute her followers by means of death. And so all the churches will know that I am he who investigates. Now we need an object. What is investigated? Well, you anticipated this from what we have just noted in Jeremiah and in the Psalms. We have a dual direct object. First, the accusative plural direct object from nephros. N-E-P-H-R-O-S. Nephros. It means kidneys. Actually, it means the fat pads of the kidneys, where the kidneys are encased. Normal people have two kidneys, and they are encased in fat pads. These are the two fat pads in which they are encased. I'll try to draw a kidney, though I'm certainly not going to be much, I'm not much of an artist for that, but that's a kidney. And this is a kidney. And they're encased in the fat pads. Nephros actually means the fat pads, the kidneys, and one other thing. Each kidney has an adrenal gland. So let's fill in this part. Here's an adrenal. And there's an adrenal gland. Now we have the fat pads, the kidneys, and the adrenal glands on the board. Now, of course, we have one other factor we need to have in mind for an illustration coming up. And that is the ureter is the duct that goes from the kidneys into the bladder. You have that picture? That's your program. That has the names and numbers of each and every player. All right, that's the diagram. We have the absence of the definite article emphasizing the quality of the noun, and is translated with a definite article, the emotions. Furthermore, I will execute her followers by means of death, Christian capital punishment. And so all the churches will know that I am he who investigates the emotions. The Hebrew equivalent of this is kilia, which we just had in Jeremiah and the Psalms. That's K-I-L-J-A-H. Kilia. Now again, remember that the kidneys refer to the fat pads, which protect both the kidneys and the adrenal glands. Let's go back to our diagram here. Here's your nephros or kilia, refers to the fat pads, which protect both the adrenals and the kidneys. The adrenal glands secrete many hormones, one of which is adrenaline or epinephrine, the emotional hormone of fright, flight, or fight. That's the hormone involved. The secretion of adrenaline or epinephrine accomplishes four things related to emotion. First, it increases the pulse rate. Secondly, it creates the cardiac blood output. Thirdly, it increases blood to the muscles. And finally, it increases glucose. The reins or kidneys are comparable to the right man, right woman analogy. The right man of the soul is the frontal lobes, especially the right lobe, while the right woman of the soul is the emotion. And since the kidneys refer to the adrenal glands, where the emotion, the hormone, emotional hormone of fear is secreted, it is linked with fear in several passages. Linked in the Hebrew, of course. You couldn't find it in the English because of horrible translation. But Job 16:13 and Job 19:27 are the illustration. For the believer living inside the divine dynasphere, perception of Bible doctrine and the function at the other gates is related to the various degrees of happiness. The emotion responds to both life in the divine dynasphere and the perception of doctrine in the divine dynasphere. For example, the left rein is the function of the believer's royal priesthood, responding emotionally to God. The right rein is the function of the believer's royal ambassadorship, responding emotionally to situations. In other words, each rein or kidney is capacity for spiritual life in responding to Bible doctrine. I think I crossed those up. The emotion, this one, will make the function of the ambassadorship, responding to God when we function under doctrine. And this one, the right rein or the right kidney, is the function, or excuse me, this is what I did wrong. This is the function of the priesthood, and this is the function of the ambassadorship, responding to situations and people. The priesthood responds to God. We have two, one to go in each direction, one, as it were, to match the two warrants we hold as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the left rein is our relationship with God. The right rein is our relationship with people and situations. It also has to do with the expression of our capacity for life. Psalm 16:7 says, I will praise the Lord who has counseled me. Even at night, my emotions correct me, instruct me, punish me, exhort me, train me. We are trained by our emotions. Happiness from life in the divine dynasphere or unhappiness from life in the cosmic system are reflected in each one of us emotionally. So the kidney, the emotion, and the cosmic involvement becomes a major issue. For example, the believer who lives in the cosmic system is negative toward doctrine. From cosmic one, his negative volition involves preoccupation with self. From cosmic two, his negative volition involves antagonism toward doctrine of those who teach it. The believer's emotion reacts to lack of Bible doctrine in the soul, plus failure to live in the divine dynasphere. And there's a physiological instability which illustrates the believer living inside the cosmic system. A pheochromocytoma is the tumor of the adrenal glands caused by the production of adrenaline, without brain control. This produces hypertension, which destroys heart, plus severe anxiety, worry, nausea, palpitations, and it illustrates the cosmic deliver. Remember that emotion is a responder to what exists in the frontal lobe. Emotion can respond to doctrine, or emotion can react to doctrine. Emotion cannot think. Emotion cannot reason. Emotion cannot learn. In fact, emotion without thought is always, inevitably, arrogance. Emotion responds to thought, but cannot replace thought. When emotion replaces thought, like the holy rollers, you have arrogance. The holy rollers are the most arrogant branch of Christianity. They call themselves glossophilia, and speaking in tongues. They are simply arrogant cosmic believers where they are born again. Inside the divine dynasphere, emotion responds to thought. Inside the cosmic system, emotion dominates thought or replaces thought. Therefore, divine discipline and punishment of believers is related to the emotions of the soul. For example, in Lamentations 3:13. For example, in our passage, Revelation 2:23. And according to Proverbs chapter 23, verses 15 through 17, the function of Gate 1, Cosmic 1, hinders capacity for life, capacity for love, capacity for happiness. This passage sounds like this. My son, the right lobe, if your heart, the right lobe, is wise, my own heart will be glad, and my emotions will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your right lobe envy sinners, but live in respect of the Lord all the day. The illustration, then, of the sin unto death and the use of emotions in this passage, or kidneys, is taken from the concept of urine reflux. Normally, when the bladder fills with urine, the pressure stimulates contraction of the muscles of the bladder wall. Do we have our diagram? Yes. There it is on the board for you. This action, along with the oblique entry of the ureter into the bladder wall, blocks off the ureter, thus preventing reflux of urine. However, through an abnormal entrance of the ureter into the bladder wall, or as a result of an infection of the bladder, urine may reflux into the kidney. Because of these abnormalities, because they exist between the bladder wall and the ureter, muscular contraction is inadequate, and therefore there is reflux of urine into the kidney. In other words, it backs up. This is comparable to the emotional abnormalities of believers living in the cosmic system. As pressure bombards the renal pelvis of the kidneys, there is a severe pain. As a result, this progressive destruction of renal mass by reflux pressure causes irreparable damage. In some cases, progressive damage to the renal mass, the area of the kidneys during the growth of a child, may at maturity cause death. And that is certainly true as far as the analogy is concerned. In other words, the destruction of the kidneys means that the body's ability to continue to repair the already damaged kidneys is gone. Hence, the kidneys are totally destroyed, resulting in death. Emotions, as urine destroys the kidneys, so cosmic life destroys emotions. That's the point. So there is a very excellent analogy from the Word of God. People, believers who live in the cosmic system, are emotionally destroyed. Translated into our passage, this means the destruction of the emotions of the soul demands that the justice of God execute such a believer by means of the sin unto death. This destruction of the emotions results from the believer residing and functioning in the cosmic system. Remember that emotion has no doctrinal content or knowledge of its own. It depends on the function and content of our frontal lobes. For the believer living in the divine dynasphere, the emotional function, normally in great happiness and capacity for life, is wonderful. But emotions are a sign in the cosmic system of your own cosmic failure. And just as there is terrible pain from reflux urine, so there is terrible pain emotionally in the soul for the believer living in the cosmic system. The believer living in the cosmic system, his emotions have great capacity for misery, unhappiness, frustration. It even explains certain forms of depression. It also explains sublimation, which contributes to both emotional revolt of the soul as well as scar tissue of the soul. The believer's emotions cannot function normally in the cosmic system. Like hydronephrosis or urine reflux to the... So the emotions destroy your life, your soul in the cosmic system. And therefore, these emotions are constantly investigated by God, investigated for the purpose of providing happiness and blessing, or investigated for the purpose of providing punishment and even death. Remember that you cannot strap it on God. He read your tape billions of years ago, with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. We dedicate the closing moments of our study this evening to those of you who are here without Christ, without hope, and without eternal life. We want you to know that Jesus Christ had you personally in mind when he went to the cross. When he was hanging between heaven and earth, every sin that you have ever committed, past, present, or future, was imputed to him and judged. This caused our Lord to scream out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Our Lord was forsaken because he who knew no sin was made sin for us. He was judged in our place. He became our substitute. He is the only Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Yes, you can have eternal life right where you sit, right this moment. It's available to you. It's as close to you as your own volition. Your head is bowed, your eyes are closed. This means you have privacy. Privacy means you have freedom for decision. Self-determination functions correctly only in privacy. In the privacy of your soul, you must answer the question, what think ye of Christ? He is the only Savior, the only source of eternal life, and the only means of true blessing now and forever. Do you want eternal life? You must fulfill the mandate of the Word of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so right where you sit right now, you face the issue. What think ye of Christ? If you want eternal life, it's yours right now. Simply in the privacy of your soul, tell God the Father that you are believing in Christ. Form the sentences inaudibly. Do not speak out loud. It isn't necessary. God reads thought. That's what we've noted tonight. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of studying these things today. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us. And now unto him who was able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.